Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's right. Do it no matter what the people say.
No matter.
They don't even know.
That's a live rhythm section bringing us back. 23 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and then one for my new book, The Third Ingredient, with a number 3, thethirdingredient.com. Dan Eberhardt is our guest, our new friend. Not for long, though. We're going to get him back. Dan, we're like the Hotel California around here. Once we find good people, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. So we got you now. And,
fan of the show, so I'd be happy to come back.
Thanks. CEO of Canary LLC. Dan, tell us about your company. Tell us about how we can find you online and your social media stuff, all that.
Sure. So I'm active on Twitter, at DanKeberhardt. Canary, so we're an oil field services company, you know, similar to Halliburton or Schlumberger, I would say better. We're obviously a little bit smaller.
And you're a small business, but right? That's the reason.
Yeah. So, well, some days it feels medium-sized, some days it feels small, depending on what's going on. But we got a lot of good folks and a lot of good energy and good products. So I'm, proud of what we've been able to do. So we do a lot of stuff, particularly surrounding pressure control with the U.S. oil field, and specifically wellheads is our core competency.
Right.
So we're out there in the oil fields in North Dakota, Texas, Pennsylvania, places like that, making stuff happen every day.
Well, and congratulations, folks. And he's being recognized for his entrepreneurial excellence, too. Hey, Dan, talk to us about I know you've been a critic of President Trump's pressure he's been trying to put on OPEC. Before you answer that question, is OPEC seeing, is peak oil behind them in Saudi Arabia? Is peak oil behind them?
I don't think so, and I think history is full of a bunch of false floors with people calling peak oil. You know, I think the electrification of cars is just slowing the growth in oil demand, not making it fall right now. You know, oil demand is about 70% transportation, and it's fuel, and it's about evenly split between jet fuel and gasoline fuel to drive vehicles.
Right.
And the aviation part of it is accelerating growth-wise, and people aren't really talking about electrification of planes at all even. So I think we're at a period when oil demand is going to be flat.
But is Saudi Arabia at peak? That's the question. Is Saudi Arabia, you said it in the last segment, that Saudi Arabia's production has fallen 3 years in a row. Are they starting to meter? Are they metering for their internal reasons or for market reasons?
Yeah, so it's fallen 3 months in a row, and that just makes me question kind of what theoretically is going on between Trump and Saudi Arabia, because I feel like Trump said, wink, wink, Saudi Arabia is going to make sure that the price doesn't explode upwards because we're hitting on Iran, which is an enemy of Saudi Arabia. But if their production's falling, that seems to show that Trump hasn't colluded with the Saudis, if I can say that.
Right, yeah. So that's a good point. So, but you think the president should not be putting this kind of pressure on Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, I'm a free market guy. Generally, I'm a supporter of the president. I think he's got good economic policies and good, policies related to growth and employment and this kind of thing. So I'm generally supportive of Trump, but I think he's wrong on, sticking his finger in the oil markets. I think the free market should solve, and I think that OPEC is, a bit of a toothless tiger with U.S. shale makes OPEC less relevant every day.
Right. I agree 100%. Yeah. And we report about it on this a lot, including the Shale Crescent. We've got some folks who report on the Shale Crescent for us. All right. I got a couple of minutes left. I want to shift over and talk about something that you mentioned earlier, and we'll probably come back another day and spend some more time on this. But you are doing – you're manufacturing offshore and also in the United States. So you got a good thumb on the pulse of both sides of the ocean in terms of manufacturing. Tell us what your evaluation about the idea of onshoring, bringing some of those jobs back to America. Why wouldn't you do that?
Sure. Well, it's just really hard. So we manufacture about 85% in China, about 15% in the U.S. And, you know, look, my heart wants to manufacture in the U.S., but my head says no, basically. Look, it's just too expensive. What we pay in healthcare costs, workers' compensation, and these kind of insurances is more than what we would pay per hour for employee in the U.S. And something I think a lot of people don't realize is the cost to get a container from Shanghai to L.A. is basically like if Shanghai was about 500 miles west of L.A.
Wow.
So think about if you put Shanghai on land and you put it 500 miles west of L.A., so the transportation cost, even though it's a great distance, we've got, in modern times, the transportation cost via these ships very, very, very low
right.
compared to what it costs to drive it around the U.S.
What's it going to take to make the U.S. more desirable? I got about 30 seconds. A couple of things it would take to make the U.S. more desirable for manufacturing, for bringing things onshore.
I think if labor costs in China quadrupled, or if the tariffs, you know, a 25% tariff, it still makes sense to make it in China. You know, if the tariffs were 200% or so, then I think
right.
it might start looking roughly even. The third answer would be automation that takes labor out of the equation
right.
could change everything.
That's what's driving most of the onshoring that we're seeing right now, isn't it? Technology.
Yeah, in Oklahoma City, there's a T-shirt factory that's
yeah.
completely peopleless.
Yeah, yeah. You know about that, right? There's a dog and a computer and a man. The computer runs the plant. The man's there to feed the dog, and the dog's there to keep the man from touching the computer. Hey, Dan, thanks for being here. Good job. Come back soon. Dan Eberhardt, ladies and gentlemen, with Canary LLC. We'll get him back another day. He's too smart. Quick break. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.